But as it turned out, there was very little to do for the chickens.
"There's no need to mention it to Molly," Mr. Weasley told Harry, blocking his access to the coop. "But Ted Tonks sent me most of what was left of Sirius's bike, and I'm hiding, that's to say, keeping it in here. Fantastic stuff. There's an exhaust gaskin, as I believe it's called. The most magnificent battery, and it'll be a great opportunity to find out how brakes work. I'm going to try and put it all back together again when Molly's not, I mean, when I've got time."
When they returned to the house, Mrs. Weasley was nowhere to be seen, so Harry slipped upstairs to Ron's attic bedroom.
"I'm doing it! I'm doing—"
"Oh, it's you," said Ron in relief as Harry entered the room. Ron lay back down on the bed, which he had evidently just vacated. The room was just as messy as it had been all week. The only change was that Hermione was now sitting in the far corner, her fluffy ginger cat Crookshanks at her feet, sorting books, some of which Harry recognized as his own, into two enormous piles. "Hi, Harry," she said, as he sat down on his camp bed. "And how did you manage to get away?"
"Oh, Ron's mum forgot that she asked Ginny and me to change the sheets yesterday," said Hermione.
She threw Numerology and Grammatica onto one pile and The Rise and Fall of the Dark Arts onto the other.
"We were just talking about Mad-Eye," Ron told Harry. "I reckon he might have survived."
"But Bill saw him hit by the killing curse," said Harry.
"Yeah, but Bill was under attack too," said Ron. "How can he be sure what he saw? Even if the killing curse missed, Mad-Eye still fell about 1,000 feet,
said Hermione, now weighing Quidditch teams of Britain and Ireland in her hand.
"He could have used a shield charm."
"Fleur said his wand was blasted out of his hand," said Harry.
"Well, all right, if you want him to be dead,"
said Ron grumpily, punching his pillow into a more comfortable shape.
"Of course we don't want him to be dead," said Hermione, looking shocked. "It's dreadful that he's dead, but we're being realistic."
For the first time, Harry imagined Mad-Eye's body, broken as Dumbledore's had been, yet with that one eye still whizzing in its socket. He felt a stab of revulsion mixed with a bizarre desire to laugh.
"The Death Eaters probably tied it up after themselves. That's why no one's found him," said Ron wisely.
"Yeah," said Harry. "Like Barty Crouch, turned into a bone and buried in Hagrid's front garden. They probably transfigured Moody and stuffed him—"
"Don't!"
squealed Hermione. Startled, Harry looked over just in time to see her burst into tears over her copy of Spellman's Syllabary.
"Oh no," said Harry, struggling to get up from the old camp bed. "Hermione, I wasn't trying to upset—"
But with a great creaking of rusty bedsprings, Ron bounded off the bed and got there first. One arm around Hermione, he fished in his jeans pocket and withdrew a revolting-looking handkerchief that he had used to clean out the oven earlier. Hastily pulling out his wand, he pointed it at the rag and said,
"Tergio."
The wand siphoned off most of the grease. Looking rather pleased with himself, Ron handed the slightly smoking handkerchief to Hermione.
"Oh, thanks, Ron. I'm sorry."
She blew her nose and hiccuped.
"It's just so awful, isn't it? Right after Dumbledore. I just never imagined Mad-Eye dying. Somehow he seems so tough."
"Yeah, I know," said Ron, giving her a squeeze.
"But you know what he'd say to us if he was here?"
Constant vigilance,"
said Hermione, mopping her eyes.
"That's right," said Ron, nodding. "He'd tell us to learn from what happened to him, and what I've learned is not to trust that cowardly little squit, Mundungus."
Hermione gave a shaky laugh and leaned forward to pick up two more books. A second later, Ron had snatched his arm back from around her shoulders. She had dropped the Monster Book of Monsters on his foot. The book had broken free from its restraining belt and snapped viciously at Ron's ankle.